Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. And we are in the section called Bet. We looked at Aleph. Now we're in the section called Bet for the second word in the Hebrew alphabet. And again, each section is just simply eight verses. And the first verse in Hebrew always begins with the letter Bet, every single time. And that happens for every single section. Well, let's read God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. My hope is that you have one of those little outlines to study the outlines, because I'll be reading quite a few of those biblical texts. That way you don't have to wrestle through the pages of your Bible. But before we begin the study and the meditation upon God's word tonight, let us bow our heads in prayer. O Father in heaven, we ask that you would illumine our minds, that we might rightly understand your word, so that we too would be able to have it pressed upon our hearts, so that we might sing it, think it, and delight in it. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the question that grabs the reader's attention, isn't it? How can a young man keep his way pure? Now, you might think this is only a passage for young men, but it's really not. It's just that young men particularly are in need of this question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Because it's the young men that are known for doing the crazy stuff, or the foolish stuff, and getting in all kinds of trouble. There just seems to be a way that young men and boys seem to get in more public trouble than others. But the fact is that this question is really for all of us, isn't it? Whether you're a young man or a young woman, or whether you're an old man or an old woman, or whether you're someone, as my kids will say, middle-aged man or middle-aged woman, the question is still the same. How might a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ keep his way pure? How does that happen? How can I guard my heart in this crooked and adulterous generation? And that's what Jesus said of a religious community in the first century, a bunch of Jews, and he called them adulterous and crooked. A religious conservative community. And I put the quotations there. Because Jesus actually knows the heart. He knows the reality. He knows the frailty of each of our walk. It's not only the Pharisees that are in need of help, is it? It's us. It was his disciples. It's our children. It's the people around us. But again, the focus here is upon the saints, upon the covenant community. You see, in the old covenant, finding its yes and amen in Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And what is the answer? What's the simple answer in the text? By living according to your word. We talked about that last week, that same theme. I need to hear that theme all the time. I can't just hear that once. I need to hear it constantly. I need to hear God speak to me, you need to live according to my word, John. Because, you know, I'm so prone to wander, as we said last week, so prone to forget the God I love. Because we are engaged in a spiritual conflict. And there is an adversary that does not want you to delight in the Word, because he does not want you to delight in the God of the Word, and he does not want you to delight in his Son who was crucified. He wants you to be ineffective. And the psalmist does not want to be a man who's ineffective, nor does he want his hearers to be ineffective. He knows if the covenant community is going to be effective, they must be living the Word. They must be living the Word of God, the living Word of God. They must be living. It's a wondrous way to say it. The living Word of God, we must be living. And in our information-saturated society, what is one of the first things that seems to go in our own personal devoted life? It's often, in my experience, and when I listen to the saints, it's often the first thing to go is, what's the word in prayer, isn't it? The very things that the psalmist says to the reader, that we need to be focused on the word. We need to be living according to the word. We need to be fully engaged with the word, because that's where God fully speaks to his people by his Spirit. And we need to hear it all the time. And again, if you, as I gave some homework, I think, last week, if you go through Psalm 119, you'll notice that Psalm 119 repeats itself. And I'm so glad it does. Because that's how the real Christian life works, doesn't it? We need to hear it again and again. How many times can we sing Amazing Grace? We could sing that actually every Sunday and we wouldn't get sick of it. It's so glorious. The words are so powerful and profound. And why is that? Because it's the Word, right? It's the Word of God put to song, and we sing. But let's look at all the aspects of how can a young man or a young woman or an old man or an old woman or a middle-aged man or a middle-aged woman keep his way pure. And if you see in your study guide, I've separated them into some sections. Actually, we're going to go verse by verse. Very simple, verse by verse. The first is the word sought. The word sought. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Isn't this essential? The word sought. Because if we do not seek, we will not find, as the Lord Jesus Christ said. We must be a people in pursuit of the word, in pursuit of hearing the voice of God. You know, there was a man, a king of Israel named Hezekiah. And in 2 Chronicles, we pick up what the chronicler is saying about Hezekiah. And it's interesting, there is a theme in Chronicles about this idea of seeking the word. And this is what the text says. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. In Israel's history, the only king that compares to King David is really King Hezekiah. Josiah dies too young. The king Hezekiah was a great leader. He wasn't a perfect man. You see clearly in the story of God's word that he is a man that stumbles on aspects, but yet he still seeks the face of God. He is a seeker of the living God. But like Hezekiah and like the psalmist and like you and I, the temptations of the world are pulling upon our hearts, aren't they? To compromise the word, to not put so much effort into seeking the word of God. Listen to how the end of this psalm, well, how the song ends, or the psalm ends. I read this last week, I'll read it again. Psalm 119, 176, I have strayed like a lost sheep, seek your servant. For I have not forgotten your commands. You see, he feels that pressure upon his life. As the world is always beckoning us to something else, isn't it? To distract us to another priority that's not God's priority. It's a constant war, isn't it? To be ever focused on God. It's a constant struggle. That's been the witness of actually 2,000 years of the Church of Jesus Christ, when the saints have themselves reflected on their own pursuit of Jesus. They're always seeming to be tripped up, to be distracted by so many good things, but they turn into bad things when they become a priority over the best thing. And that is the voice of God. There's nothing better than hearing the voice of the lover of your soul, is there not? Who loves you and gave his life for you and rose from the dead for you. Don't we want to hear his voice? I need to be reminded of that all the time. So in the weakness of my flesh, I might again pursue him, getting up out of the dust and continuing in my race to know him and to love him and to understand the depths of how much I'm loved. And of course, there's the word memorized. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love this word, this idea of memorize. You know, the body of Christ has been memorizing the word for a long period of time. In the ancient world, it was even more essential when books were not readily available, were they? There was no internet. And so memorization was even more important, to memorize these glorious texts and to impress them upon your heart, so that in the day of temptation and in the day of trial, the word of God is right there, impressed upon your heart. And listen to how the psalmist here speaks in other parts of the psalm. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all the day long. And he's talking about memory. I keep thinking about it all the day long. It's so sweet to me. It's so good, isn't it? How can I not keep savoring this word and bringing it up to my memory? But again, here he says, for the second time, that I might not sin against you. You hear his voice? Do you hear his heart? Do you hear his weakness? I love this. He's putting his weakness out on display for everyone to read. Because he doesn't want to sin against him. He knows his heart oh too well. It sounds like the psalmist in Psalm 19, 13. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And if you know Psalm 19, you know that the psalmist has just been delighting in the word of God, and yet he knows the weakness of his heart. It's so good for us to be reminded of that. And actually, the word of God reminds us of that. It gives us a reality check to our own weakness, but the fact is, most of us know quite well our own weakness, don't we? Those besetting sins, those struggles, those temptations. And in a world that's still adulterous and still crooked, how much more do we need to take this word and memorize it? And brothers and sisters, there are plenty of wondrous helps for you to memorize the word, are there not? Many a places on the internet, many places you can get cards, you can print them out, you have apps, I have fighter verses on my phone. There's many helps today to memorize this word, to be pressed upon your heart. And as he's writing about him hiding this word in his heart that he might not sin against the Almighty, he says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Teach me them. What does he mean here? What does he mean, teach me them? I thought he has the book in front of him. What does he mean, teach me? Well, this is an old word in the Christian tradition, talked about illumine. The word illumined. The psalmist right here in Psalm 25, verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long." Help me to understand it. Isn't that what he's praying for? Because the Bible is, what kind of book is the Bible? Is it just a book written by probably 40 authors? These 66 books? Or is it a supernatural book? How did it come about? Did it come about because of the will of man? Or did it come about because of the will of the Almighty, who by the Spirit led the prophets and the apostles to write the very word that we have before us? It's a supernatural book, isn't it? And so when you hear his voice in his word, he wants us to engage with him and ask him, "Oh, Rabbi," as the disciples used to call the Lord Jesus Christ, "Rabbi, teach me your word. Illumine my heart that I might rightly understand it." Not just understand information or be able to pass a quiz on Bible knowledge, but rather that I might know you. That's the point, isn't it? To read the Word of God is not simply to do well in an exam, it's to know him, to love him, to be loved by him, and to learn what it means to love others. And so when you come to the word and you open it up, whether that's in Hebrew, or whether that's in English, or whether that's in Dutch, oh Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to discern your word. Apply it to my heart. Guide me. Teach me that I might know you, that I might love you, that I might learn to love, that I might learn to forgive. Truly, it's a supernatural book. And you're supernatural people, aren't you? You're born of the Spirit. Where does God reside? Far away? Oh, no, no, no. Right here, amongst the saints, amongst you, and amongst me, and amongst us all. And of course, the psalmist continues. He says, "With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth." The word spoken. Why is this important for us to see here? The word spoken. Why would that be good for us to do? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 40 says this, verse 9, "I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly." The psalmist in Psalm 119 and the psalmist in Psalm 40 is saying, this word is not meant for me to keep to myself. This word is meant for others. It's meant to share. It's meant to cast the seed as wide as you can. Because this is living, the living word. It's living seed, and in it is the power of God. I can't be silent. My children must know the word. My grandchildren must know the word. My wife, my husband must know the word. And what did the apostle say when the Sanhedrin told him, "Shut your mouth. Be silent. Say nothing anymore about this Jesus and about the resurrection." What did they say in Acts chapter 4, verse 20? "For we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard." And if you have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and born of the Spirit, you must be speaking this word, right? What a wonderful thing to do. This word that was spoken gave life to you. Why wouldn't you want to share this glorious, powerful word to give life to others? That is what the church ought to be doing. Not silent, but singing it, speaking it, so that others will have the seed and some will be thrown upon that ground that will yield a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. May the church not be silent. May the church speak this life-giving word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, your word, we could be studying this all night long. We don't have the energy, but we have the Spirit. And Father, for the word that you have implanted in our hearts today, the word sung, the word prayed, the word preached, the word read, that you would bring fruitfulness in our lives, in our affections and in our thinking, in order that we might be effective disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and you might be glorified. Oh, help us, oh Spirit that indwells us. We ask this all in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.